Hi, saucers. I used it. Are you excited?
Yes.
Saucers.
Oh, wow. I was going to do it if you weren't going to do it, but I don't know. Well, you call,
we'll just call yourself saucers
and make us happy.
Literally nobody does it. They're like, this is making me want to stop listening.
SOSers just sounds like...
Weird. It sounds like a cult a little bit.
SOSers.
Or like a group on a cruise ship. Like, where are all my SOSers? Like an annoying organized camp.
Come on, SOSers. Put your body into it.
Yeah. It's like some obnoxious group.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're not that. We're the cool group.
We're not like regular podcasts. We're cool podcasts. We're the cool podcasters.
Not like a regular. Yes.
Anywho, this episode is kind of like a little break in our usual programming, just to kind of have an update on where we're at. You know, I mean, we're just starting this now, but we have every intention of making this a shorter one. But we, you know,
just a
the world catch is
up episode.
Yeah, the world is a little weird right now, so we wanted to to kind of I don't know, check in and
Yeah, this is like, and I don't know where people are listening, but obviously we're in Los Angeles and they're starting to close things down again because precautions weren't taken correctly the first time. And it's just this, I mean, we're all on it. It's just a roller coaster.
Yeah. And I was saying this before, but if you've seen Hamilton, cause it's on Disney Plus now, the world turned upside down and we are here living through every moment. And if you know us too, you know that me and Molly, as our day jobs, like we are servers. So this is like, it's weird because we're in this kind of limbo as of right now. We recorded this on Wednesday, July 8th. And as of now, like, you know, our extra money from the CARES Act is running out in like a week and a half or 2 weeks from now, something like that, like the 25th. And we don't know. It's just like, we don't know how we're going to be surviving.
I have a development on that because my other job is graphic design and product photography and stuff for the jewelry brand that I work for. And I was talking to her the other day and about restaurants and all that. And I was just like, I can't go back. I hate doing that. It was killing my soul not doing it. And now I'm working pretty much full time at the other place now.
That's crazy.
Because her store isn't open, but we have plenty of, we're doing like photo shoots and all that kind of stuff. And she told me the other day, she's like, well, I don't think you shouldn't have to go back. Like, I think we'll be able to figure it out. And I was like, oh my
That's
God.
Amazing.
Like my, and I don't want to, you know, it hasn't happened yet. We'll have to see. But honestly, like, you know, being out here and being an artist and you just jump in, especially like, when I moved out here, and you too, it's like pretty much right after college for you too, right?
Oh,
and you're just like
during college, yeah,
22, and like, okay, well, I'll do whatever. And then it's not, it's so much work to pursue a dream like this. And like anybody, I feel like anybody has it in them for like a year or 2 years. Cause you're just like, I'm an artist. I don't care. I'm living the dream. I'm 22. And then like, you know, 5 years go by and you're like, okay, like this is still my dream, but like my day job is starting to murder me. And like, it just goes and goes and goes. And having that conversation with her, cause I love what I do there. I'm like on the creative side and I get to design. And yesterday we were doing a photo shoot and I was shooting and I'm just like, this is so much more in line with who I am. And then the thought of not ever having to go back to serving after this, like, when I really came home and like thought about it, I'm like, okay, when that day comes where it's like confirmed that I don't have to, I'm going to cry. Like I'm going to start bawling. Like it's just been so, you know, it's just for both of us, it's like so long and it's just hard because you need something that's flexible and that allows you to, but at what point does it hinder your creativity?
100%. It hinders creativity. And also like you're just, your dignity, you know, especially when you are, it is a day job to you. You know, it's one thing if it's, you know, you're still kind of figuring out what you want to do and you can kind of like just shut off things and just go into server mode. You know, it's something that we all have to do normally, but there's people that do it way better than us, I think. Like me and Molly really have a hard time shutting off our emotions when we're doing this because we are emotional, creative people.
Yeah.
And it's not our passion. I mean, I don't know how many people it is actually their passion to be servers.
Oh my God. And like, you honestly, like you said, your it really is like your dignity, because it's a practice in like being confident in who you are, because every day you go there, literally every day. I mean, it's not like you get terrible people every day, but I would venture to say, tell me if you agree, but like every day there's some level of condescension from a guest, even if even if they're on the surface polite and you can't really call them, you couldn't call them out like, well, why? I was nice to you. It's like, yeah, but like you deal with it every day and for years. And then to the point where you have to learn how to shut down. Like, I dissociate myself with who I am when I would go into a shift, because it was like, this is not me. This is not my, this is not who I am. I'm just going to get in, make my money. And that's the thing. It's kind of golden handcuffs, because you can make really good money. And then it's like, and then just get out. And then, but you can't just come home and flip back into like, now I'm me again. And now, and then doing this other job for me,
like you have
the
to,
last couple months, I'm like, myself when I'm there, I'm creative. I'm like, I come home and I'm still energized because I feel like I'm valued for my creativity. Yeah. I love what I'm doing there. Yeah, and then I come home and I have all this energy to work on my music and to still be creative. And I'm like, this is who I know myself to be.
Yep.
But I didn't even have, which we have talked about for a long time, but until I had this experience of A, not being at the restaurant, but also being at another job full time, not just not working like quarantine was at first, where I was in either place. Mm-hmm. But now that I'm at one and not the restaurant, I'm like, oh my God, this is like, this is me.
Yeah. We talked about it with Marco. Like, it's so draining to go from a shift to an audition to a shift, learning lines. And I mean, cause really serving is kind of acting. Like, you are an actor in some, because you are accessing another character, a character that is willing to please a stranger and take a lot of shit and fake laugh when they just say, oh, I can have everything. Give me $1 million.
My face hurts. You know, at the end
all
of those,
this stupid, did you like it? Oh, no, it's terrible when it's an empty dish and you're like, I'm so sorry. Like,
you're
come
so
on.
Funny.
You know, it's so demeaning, and it's not even just from guests. It's also depending on where you work, you know, your management could also be a factor. Yes. Your the owners or whatever.
Yeah.
The higher ups could also make you very feel very little.
Yeah. And when you're flipping back and forth between, like you said, you have auditions or you have, and you're going back and forth between the restaurant vibe and then your auditions, and where, in which when you're an artist and you're performing, you need that like self-confidence. You need to feel grounded in who you are. And it's like, you need like an adjustment period from the restaurant to that. And it's so hard because the lifestyle is like, for acting at least, which I'm not obviously in, but like, you're going back and forth all the time. It's like audition, okay, work, audition, work shift, audition. And for me, it's like, I'm the most creative at night. I'm a night owl and, you know, restaurant, the money's at night. And I was working nights and I'd get home really late. And it's like, when can I don't wake up in the morning and I still, my voice isn't even like my ideal singing voice right when I wake up. So then I have to wait till the afternoon, but then it's like you go into work at four and you're there till 1 a.m. And it's just like, oh my God, this is, and now, everything is, I know. So I don't want to be misunderstood, because of course, like all the deaths are awful and that aspect of the virus, of course, is awful.
Yeah.
The virus is not what I'm grateful for. I'm grateful for this like massive shift in society, because we all needed to see something different, whether it's like, shit, I'm really not happy where I am, or wow, this is actually what I want to do. Or maybe people who want to move cities. Like, I've had friends move since this happened. Yeah. Or like, I mean, it just, everything stops and you get to just look around.
Well, it's also kind of, it shined a huge spotlight on capitalism. when we talked about that a lot, and how, you know, as the service industry, and there's also other industries too that are making more now with the CARES Act than they were normally. So we're sitting here making more money and not waiting tables right now. So you have to understand when we say like we're, you know, we're thankful for this shift. It's because like we're able to be creative. We're able to not work at a job that is really soul sucking and make more money. And that's an issue because making more money now with the government help, it is backwards as all hell.
It's so backwards because if you're not able to make like a solid
wage,
we're
below the poverty line.
And restaurants, like, of course, you live on tips. So there are weeks where you're like, oh, this is great. I'm ahead.
Yeah, but you don't have the hours.
That wasn't what I thought.
Yeah.
And so you're beholden to a lot of that. I just think we really obviously need to restructure a lot of our industries and organizations for the people that work there, because I mean, my God, I'm just like, it's not right. And then people come down on working class people like, well, you're just collecting money. You're not going back to work. You just want to stay home and do nothing and keep getting money. And it's like, no, that's not the issue.
No,
I mean, that's what we're saying, but to the extent of we are not paid fairly for the hard work that we do
and paid or treated.
You can't even like, And a lot of people, like, I know you and I know people that we've worked with who don't have, any savings or any, that's terrifying to me. And that's not, you know, that's like a personal thing. So that's like, there are plenty of servers like you and I who have savings, but it's like, it's also an industry. There's so many industries that don't, you know, it just promotes living paycheck to paycheck. It keeps people living paycheck to paycheck. And that's wrong.
And also I think, you know, I mean, this is a whole separate, I've been like wanting to do, I mean, we've been talking about wanting to do an episode like on the service industry as a whole, because of there's so many fucked up things that a lot of people don't know about, as far as how like we just have like zero benefits in every form of that definition. Mm-hmm. Like our job is on the line for the most minuscule things. And we don't have protection.
And you're completely disposable. You're completely disposable.
And think about it, even right now during this pandemic, like the restaurants that have opened in all these cities, these servers are putting themselves at risk for you to go out, tip your 10%, not wear a mask. I know it's a restaurant and you have to like take it off to eat, but it's really scary, you know, even to think like, you know, we were talking about this, like there are restaurants that have opened up, and I think they're closing down again because our cases are spiking. But, you know, we talked about, it's like, do we want to go back right now? And like, at least you have Tanea. Mm-hmm. Like me, I have to start getting creative really fast, and I have ideas, but it's not solid. And, you know, and I have savings, right? But, you know, I'm 30. So I also have to think about my future. Mm-hmm. Like, why do I have to dip into my savings right now when, you know, we want a family one day, when we want a house one day, maybe, you know, it's like, it's really disheartening that I'd have to do that all because
you work so hard.
The government not figuring out their shit.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Because of something that's not even.
Yeah. And I'm not, you know, I'm not a minority in that. Like there's tons of people like that are facing inevitable doom at the end of this month because they're not going to know how to pay their exorbitant rent.
Yeah. Which is not discounted. I could go on a rant. My whole building, all the amenities that are here, the gym, the pool, the courtyard, the outside area, they've all been closed for 4.5 months and we're paying full rent. And that's what our...
Oh, wow. Like, I never even thought about that.
Yeah. And I've reached out so many times and like, it's just like, nope, sorry. What they say, which infuriates me, we're not charging any credit card fees for online payments. The credit card fee is $3. So they're...
Wait, I'm like, look,
the reason,
our pool's open. That's crazy. I never even thought about that.
Yeah, I've been just like, I can't even go outside into the courtyard area. I would like go sit and read down there, sit by the pool, go to the gym is in here. The gym, like I can't do anything. And
it was closed for a while. Yeah. But what Molly's saying is like her building and other buildings too, that have amenities like, you know, pool areas, lounge areas, gyms, but they're being closed because it's a pandemic, but you're still charging full rent when that's a huge part of rent.
It's a huge part of what you pay for.
Yeah. Oh my God. I never even thought about that. That's infuriating.
I know. It like gets me so mad when I think about it.
Oh,
but
wow.
Yeah, it's just like a, but I do, especially with you, Alyssa, like I know you're one of the most intelligent and creative people I know. She's making a face right now for people who can't see this, but that's a combination that like there, and you're passionate about so, like, the things you believe in. And this has been such a long time of, I mean, it started in March that we stopped working. And I know I know in your mind, it's like, doesn't help to hear people say that, but I do feel the need to say like, I have no doubt that you're getting out of it too.
Yeah, I know.
Because I know you are.
I mean, how many times did we talk in the beginning of this year? Just talk about like,
oh my God,
this has to be it. This has to be it. Our days have to be numbered. We just like, I mean, like you, definitely like secreted it, or you know, brought it to the universe about leaving a restaurant and restaurant industries all together. But I feel
manifested
like
manifested getting fired and everything.
Again, not to the pandemic is fucking serious. Wear your mask. Wear your mask. Wear your mask. Yeah. Wash your hands. But you know, it's kind of a, I don't want to like be selfish, be like, it's a beautiful thing. To
well,
not
that's
wait
why I said
right
like,
now.
There's a like, difference between, you're not talking about the virus itself. You're talking about this break.
I'm talking
this,
about
like,
the break.
In,
it's just like, I every day, and I don't take it for granted at all. Mm-hmm. Every day I sit and I mention at least once a day to Ryan. I'm like, I waited tables months ago.
Yeah.
Like yes, I've had like to deal with anxieties because of what the world we're living in, because people are being murdered, because you know, people are dying from a disease that could have been prevented and or treated faster. I have anxieties and have had little meltdowns here and there, but there is such a joy in this break that I think I've been allowing myself to just kind of, and it's maybe not a healthy thing, kind of just like sit and like shut my brain off besides auditioning and besides, you know, this, our podcast, which is, you know, which is work too. It's not like I've been completely just like,
no, but I do think it's a healthy thing to,
to just focus on this and auditioning and like things that I love and connecting with my friends, like,
yeah, I know.
I don't take it for granted, and it's gonna be a thing to actually, or I don't know. I don't even know what it's gonna take for me to feel comfortable waiting tables again. A vaccine?
Like, no, yeah, no, it's not a comfortable situation at all. I don't.
It's so uncomfortable. We're putting ourselves in such like. Because the protocols, because there are like protocols, right, that restaurants have to ensure a safe environment. It's impossible. Sorry.
Yeah. I haven't looked into it, but the because I'm just like.
It's impossible, Molly.
Really,
it's like washing your hands every 5 seconds. Like,
okay,
you have to do something special with the cards and the money transfers. Forget cash payments. Like,
but you have to wear gloves. So to take them, those tight, like sweaty latex gloves off every 5 minutes and wash your hands and put them back on. And then you're sweating in your mask and then
taking their dirty napkins, their dirty dishes. Oh my God.
And by nature, you know, they obviously can't wear masks because they're eating. And then you have like, I mean, it just makes no sense. It makes no sense. It's a money move to open those places up. And, you know, that's what's happening because we are, even if it's dying, we are living in a capitalistic society. And, you know, and we were not a prepared government as much as we, being he who shall not be named, always talks about how we are prepared and we're the best and we're ready for everything. No,
it's a joke.
Clearly we're not. And a lot of it is... specifically his fault.
Oh, 100%.
And it's not, I know there's like so many other things at play, but it's like, listen, like, did you post something today or I saw something that today that was like New Zealand chose, so they had their health professionals, yeah, determine how to deal with the virus, and the politicians were second to that. So like the health officials made those decisions, the politicians followed. And they have zero cases now.
Zero.
I mean, that cases. Is like a logical no-brainer thing. Like, why would you not have the health officials deal with a health crisis and have the authority there? Why?
Well, it's also like he fucked up by getting rid of the pandemic
response team
prevention force department.
Yeah.
And that was, yeah, he fucked up there, but it's also like he wanted to seem a certain way not wearing a mask, and he wanted to downplay it so the economy can survive. But you look at Sweden, oh, yeah, didn't shut down at all. Everything was normal, and they have, I think it was like 10 times the cases that we do, like with their population comparative.
Wow.
It's fucking terrible. And their economy isn't great.
Right.
They didn't actually save their economy at all during that process. So here we are now opening up in most of these cities.
Yeah.
States, and our cases keep going up, and they keep opening things. Like I just read that they're, Pence is like, oh yeah, we're opening schools up completely. Trump just took us out of the World Health Organization. Like he just withdrew the U.S. from WHO. And it's like, first of all,
oh my God,
it's like, you can't do that. It's just like, it's not really legal or it's fucking bizarre. And it's a whole fucking thing.
I know. I feel like I'm watching, like sometimes it's an out of body experience,
yeah,
while simultaneously feeling like I'm very much in it. I'm very much in this country that's like crumbling, so to speak. Like, I mean, that's a broad statement, but the so many things are crumbling and need to, which I understand, like this need, a lot of this ugliness needed to come to the forefront to be seen and to be dealt with, especially with the race issues in America. And like, if anybody doubted, which obviously a lot of people did and still do, unfortunately, but any people doubted, like, I mean, I've talked to a lot of people in like my parents' generation who previously were like, yeah, that's awful, but honestly really thought more on the optimistic end of like, yeah, but at least it doesn't happen that much, who are now like admitting and saying, cause they weren't like, no, they weren't all lives matter people, but yeah, they were just like, no, for sure it matters, but it's, you know, I don't think it's as bad as it was when we were growing up. And now, who are now realizing like, oh my God, wow. Oh my God, this is real. And so a lot of these terrible things that we're going through, I 100% believe are necessary. And yep, at time, and I'm very much like feel the importance of being involved and speaking my mind and making my views known and fighting for what I believe in. And at the same time, there are days where I feel so out of body and like remote from it. Like I'm watching it all happen and just like, what is this? What,
yeah,
is this? Is this a social experiment?
Yeah. Like, a matrix.
Our whole lives.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like, and we don't know what the future ramifications on our mental health are really going to be like when this is done, or whatever done really means.
Right. Right. Because I don't think there's no destination. It's just a change.
Yeah.
Like what a lot of Jordan was saying in our past, a recent episode with Jordan, the astrology episode. I mean, that was eerie because she was predicting, it was the day before George Floyd was murdered, and she specifically talked about like a social revolt and she literally described,
yeah,
revolution. Yeah.
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 I try to be as present as possible. Like when I'm talking to my sister, my friends, and we're talking about like what our plans are and like how we're feeling, like, and I think it's important. I mean, it's important to have a plan, of course, but it's also important to be as present as possible. Otherwise, yeah, like we could, like my, any anxiety order could be like exacerbated completely.
Yeah.
If we're not taking care of ourselves.
What are your, do you feel like there have been phases to quarantine?
Because
like, it's so interesting. The beginning of it was literally, it went from like everyone learning how to make banana bread to everyone's learning how to be anti-racist in like a matter of a couple weeks.
Well, it was weird for me, like, it was like I was sick like the first month,
mm-hmm.
and it would not go away. I don't know. I never got tested for COVID. It was when testing was few and far between. So I never got tested. I was like, it was miserable because I remember being like, I would fucking love this quarantine if I wasn't sick right now. I mean, you know, right. Love it.
I know, but it'd but be like, so nice to I have could, free time.
Free time. Yeah. I was just, I had tons of anxiety because I was sick and I didn't know what it was and it wasn't going away. Mm-hmm. I was just like coughing nonstop and it was stopping me from, you know, wanting to do anything. It was like, we weren't recording. We like took a break there. We would thank God we were smart and we kind of record ahead of time. Mm-hmm. And that was like a dark phase. And then, well, and it's a kind of like, and then George Floyd happened, and then it's another dark phase, and it's just so interesting.
I know, it's just
like
March.
I don't know.
The beginning of it to me feels like a year or 2 years ago.
Oh,
like when I think about my mental space and where what my days looked like before I was back to work with Tanea, and just like when we thought it might just be maybe 3 weeks, maybe a month,
right.
Well, definitely a month and a half.
Right.
And then it's like 4 months go by, you know, and
there's no end in sight.
And it started with like, I think if this had only lasted a couple weeks, society obviously wouldn't have gotten to this point, because in those couple weeks, like it was great. And I was, you know, I was reading and I was like, I had more time to read and work on my music and everything was great. You have more free time at your, maybe I'll cook more and that stuff is all cool. But then you need more time to get to the deeper internal stuff that everybody is eventually forced to face. And that's whether that's like people who I love solitude. I love being alone, but I know a lot of people really don't. And so you have to come face to face with that and why that is, or like for me and you, it's like a career thing where you're just like, okay, so why do I feel like a different person now? What was I doing before that wasn't, you know? But that's not something that you come to within 2 weeks of quarantine. The first month even was just like, oh, we get to wear sweatpants and face masks and cook and like, and anxiety of like the virus. But it, you know, it quickly escalated to like deeper, serious political and systemic and humanitarian. And I mean, this is getting like,
real. If you're not living under a rock, you're gonna feel the weight of what's happening in this world right now.
Yeah.
And I feel like you have to try really, really hard to ignore everything that's happening. Like you have to try at it. And I feel like that's what's kind of offensive too. And we talk about this. It's just like, you have to really try to not have
like
this
actively
affect you and ignore everything that's happening.
You have to try to not learn some truths right now.
Yep.
Because, and if that's, so before it was like, you know, I understand, while I don't agree with it, I understand why a lot of people don't know these things, because they don't seek this knowledge out and they don't try. Mm-hmm. And you know, some, I getting being vague, but I'm talking about like racism for, you know, for right now. It's like, I understand why a lot of white people don't get this. It doesn't make me give them a pass and it pisses me off, but like logically I get it. You don't have anything in your face that's forcing you to face it. But now you do. And I know you do, because you can't get away from it. I know my feed and your feed are like completely bombarded, but that has a lot to do with the accounts we choose to follow. So I'm sure, I know a lot of people's feeds aren't looking like ours, but I still, like, I swear to God, you have to be trying. So now the people who aren't saying anything, I know you and I both at certain points made videos speaking to, you know, white friends or family or anybody who's white, who's silent right
We've
now
had because, it.
Oh my God. I am
breaking
like,
point after I, breaking point.
Yeah. And like, seriously, it's this whole thing of like, you feel the responsibility of being a white person because it is truly our responsibility to do that work and to hold each other accountable and ourselves accountable. Yeah. And so being in the skin that like we're in, I can't separate myself from it. I can't just let this shit go by, especially from people that I love and from people who claim to, who are disturbed by what's going on. Then it's those people I just want to like shake and be like, there's no excuse. And you're actually so far from neutral when you do that. You're so far from neutral. You are like,
yeah,
actively holding up this system that is killing people.
I know. And I don't know what the right way to go about it is. You know, like the Libra of me is just like, I want to connect, you know, no one wants to be shamed, but at the same time, I don't want to make anybody feel comfortable.
Right.
I don't want to say it's okay when it's not. So if I'm saying it's not okay, how can I actually correctly and carefully connect to you so it's not a call out, it's a call in?
Yeah, I know. And what I thought about too was that, because I put out a video on Instagram TV, my first time using IGTV.
We got to start doing that for this podcast.
Yeah, we should. Yeah, I broke my IGTV seal to yell about racism. I didn't yell. It was very kind. But I'm also like, I had that thought like you where I'm like, had to really think for myself.
Yeah.
Ask myself like, am I expecting everybody to do what I'm doing? And
right.
Am I not going to be satisfied until and unless everybody is as outspoken as me? And I was like, I like to think not, but is that how I feel? Like, is nothing going to be enough for me from people I love until it like matches what I'm doing, which isn't right. And then gratefully, I got the answer to that because after I posted that, one of my very best friends pushed something in her story, like regarding these issues and like was posting about like, it was one or two posts is all in her story about Black Lives Matter. And I hadn't seen anything before. And that's exactly what my video was about. Like people who haven't said anything yet. And I had been worried, like I said, like, am I just like wanting people to do what I do as much of what I do? Is nothing going to be enough for me? And then, but once I saw literally one or two posts from her, my entire heart warmed. And it's like, because then I was like, okay, I'm not asking for someone to do
exactly,
go crazy like I do. I really want to see, because everybody starts at their own place. Everyone's in a different place and you can't expect everybody to be where you are and you are not where other people are. And so it did confirm for me though. I was like, no, all I'm really looking for, because of my gut reaction when I saw that post from her, was like so much appreciation and love. And it was like a message to, she didn't say anything to me, but it felt like a response to me. Like, I heard you and I'm doing this. And it meant the world to me, because I was like, I know you believe that these things are wrong. And so
I know.
So I guess, I don't know. I guess I'm saying like,
yeah,
I think you and I, you do want people to be louder and there's always more we can all be doing, but it really does make a difference to see one person take one step when for them, that's a really big step, even if to you, it's a small one.
Yeah, I agree. And I was talking about this with my friend Joey, who we want to have on, he's just a hoot, but we were just talking about that too. And it's like, you know, you want people to care about something as serious as racial injustice. And when they don't, you either assume that they don't give a shit, or perhaps they are doing their own work, they're donating, they're having the tough conversations with their own family at the same time, but not posting on Instagram. So you're like, should I point fingers? You know, and I was going through my head after I made my video of like calling people out, because I was in my feelings and who cares. But, you know, honestly, like we're talking to everybody, but like who I'm really like pointing fingers at, I guess, is people that I know, like in their personal life, they're not doing work as well as their social media life. You know, it's not even just like, cause I know people that aren't just like on Instagram that much, you know, they're just like, they're not story people. They're not post people. They just like are barely on, but are doing work outside of that.
Right. Well, and that's like an important piece. Cause I, in my video too, I was like, I understand, because I'm not saying social media is more important than having those conversations, because it's not, and like donating and signing petitions. But I think we'd all be remiss to ignore the fact that that is like a major tool for social change in our world. And it's a huge, it's really important. And I don't personally, I don't care if you don't post a lot. Get on and post one thing.
Yeah.
Post one thing.
Exactly. And that was my argument too. It's just like, yes. So, right. So it's like the call in versus call out.
Yeah.
But, right. But even like if you have five followers and there could be like, it's your parents and your sister and your two cousins, like it still could matter that your voice is doing something responsible, you know?
Because those five people have their followers and they have theirs. It's like a stream. And so it does like doesn't matter if you have two followers. Maybe one of those followers has 20 and then they post it to their friends. And that's how it spreads. Like,
yeah,
it's important.
It's standing for something.
Yeah.
And making it known without fear of whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever think people might be like, oh, you know, why are you posting? You know, it's just not giving a fuck anymore because this is bigger than us.
Yeah. And I do have a really hard time. This actually, the last couple of weeks have really made me super reflective about my loved ones. Not in a, and I don't mean this in a like judgmental way, but more like, okay, who are the people in my life that I love that are making a point to take a stance? And who are those who are not? And also, I'm already, by nature, I'm like extremely, Jordan told me it's an Aquarius thing, but like extremely social justice. Like, I know I'm more passionate and more fired up about it than most, and that's okay. So I know that about myself. But this, the last month or more, is only making me more that way. I'm only going harder in that direction that I already was going harder than most people in my life.
Yeah.
And so now I see like the road start to split a little bit where I'm like, I'm not trying to cut anybody off. I'm not in the, I mean, unless you're an All Lives Matter person, but I don't have those people in my close circle.
Yeah.
So I'm not trying to like cut anybody out of my life, and I'm not trying to tell anyone how to live, but I'm trying to talk about these things. And I really look like, you know, I think about you and Ryan, and I'm like, I have a lot of people that I'm really close with who are like fighting this fight outwardly and internally and like really doing everything.
Unlearning things. Because we all have things to unlearn. We all have things that we don't know. We're still like, I didn't even think about that. This. I didn't even think about issues here.
Yeah.
You know, it's no one is the most wokest person
and
in the
like,
world.
Coming to terms. No. I mean, I'm learning like, I've said this so many times. I'm learning so much every day.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't consider this. The point is not to be an authority on anything. You just want to keep learning.
Yeah.
But it's like, I see certain people in my life where I'm like, okay, understanding that this isn't as important to you or that you aren't doing anything about this is not going to make me cut you off or love you any less. But I do understand the direction my life is going and the people in my life. And I don't know, it's made me very reflective on like being okay with growing and changing and having other people's lives go in different directions and still being close and loving them. But understanding like you don't need to fight tooth and nail to stay the same with somebody. Like it's okay to grow into who you are and they take their path. And I don't know, it's been a whole internal dialogue for me lately.
I know I've been thinking about that too. And I mean, like you said, you know, my close circle are people that are passionate about this. So it's like, I have a bubble, I'm in it. And I'm sure it's the same for the All Lives Matter people. They have a bubble. And I don't have the answers, obviously, like about how to get through and properly, because these are the people that think it's okay. Like Trump, Trump yesterday, like, you know about the Bubba Wallace stuff, right? The NASCAR driver, and he, you know, wore a Black Lives Matter thing, and then he found a noose in his locker. And everyone, like, not everyone, but, like, All Lives Matter people are calling him Jussie Smollett, like Bubba Smollett, like, because they think he faked it when there's no proof.
He didn't even see it. He wasn't even, he didn't even see the noose himself.
Yeah, no. And
so he
Trump
didn't fake it.
Tweeted yesterday that he should, that Bubba should apologize.
Wow.
To the other NASCAR drivers for their, for, you know, and like in the support of NASCAR. For like for all they sacrificed to back him. Like, what the fuck did they sacrifice?
Wow.
What are you talking about? And and you're already saying that he should apologize. You're already made up in your mind. And you said, as the president, as the leader of this country, that this man faked it. That's what these people are. That's what these people in their bubble, that's what they're supporting. That's what they say is okay.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I think about this. It's like, once he leaves office, I feel like it's, I don't know. This could be so naive, but I feel like it's gonna get a little better.
Because
they don't have a fucking talking head leading them and making it okay for them to be as...
Yeah.
For these Karens to come out. Stop, Karens! Stop it!
Yeah, oh my God, the Karens. Oh my God.
The Karen apocalypse. Should we have a Karen on the show? Should we interview a Karen?
Oh my God. Well, I think you'd be better at it. I would need to stay in a separate room.
I don't know.
I don't know. We'd probably both.
I would just be like, so you're a dumb bitch. Explain to me what that's like.
So how does it feel to be so,
because we joke about being dumb ignorant bitches, but like you're an actual live one.
You're alive. We got a live one.
Crikey, we got a live one here. We got a live Karen here. That's how it is. When like these videos, these Karens, like people are like, holy shit, we have a live Karen here.
The National Geographic, like, it's in its natural habitat. It's in a gated neighborhood.
I don't know what to do with these people.
Their normal behavior is to call the cops after about 20 seconds. Usually 5 seconds, 20 seconds is too long.
And this president is giving them so much, so much mileage, you know, in their cojones to throw tantrums like this, to scream "All Lives Matter," to wave a Confederate flag outside a NASCAR race, to freak out over wearing a mask because these people don't realize their privilege.
Right.
The most minuscule right it's not being taken away. Just like wearing a is so, their rights are so infringed upon that they're freaking the fuck out.
Like, you're not even arrested for not wearing one, dude. Like, you can't go into a store. But there was this video that I saw of this guy, like, it was at some town hall meeting, screaming, grown ass man screaming at the top of his lungs, saying like, "You did not listen to we the people," like shouting.
Oh, yeah.
Out of control. And somebody wrote, if he's this mad about them telling him to wear a mask, which he doesn't get arrested for anything, imagine how he'd feel if the government told him that he had to carry and birth a child.
Like today, I don't know if you saw it today, that the Supreme Court ruled that companies can refuse to pay for birth control. It just went through today.
Oh my God.
Like, that just happened today.
See, there's another thing that I saw, which is like, we're all learning, or, you know, Instagram is important because you don't have to, you learn so much and you see people word things in the best ways possible. And, but it was this thing that was like, if you have never had the Supreme Court have to make a decision about your, whether you have equal rights to other people, then you that's privilege. And, you know, there's obviously many levels of privilege. Like, we have privilege as, like,
cis
white women too,
of
course. But like, the concept is like, have you ever had the Supreme Court make decisions about your rights? No? Okay, then you need to really understand where you sit in the world.
And if you're a loyal listener, we'd like to do a whole thing about birth control and what it does. And like, I don't take birth control, but it's like, there's women that take it for health reasons, not even to prevent pregnancy, but fuck you. Who cares if they're doing it to prevent pregnancy? Because these motherfuckers are out there not wearing condoms. These motherfuckers are out there
like getting, I mean, I guess it's a two-way street, but like asking their girlfriends to get abortions. Mm-hmm. And you, and yes, there's motherfuckers out there that are in, you know, the Senate, Congress, the House, that are ruling against abortion, so and welfare or food stamps, mm-hmm, or government, well, once that baby is born. But you don't want to, you're allowing companies to refuse birth control because of religious freedoms.
Yeah, and you know, once the baby's born, the government doesn't do shit to care about their life and the if they're born into a situation where the mother can't support a child, or there's like mental disorders, or there's abuse or anything like that. The government doesn't step in for those children who were forced to be born, but they care about the life when it's in the womb. But
they don't care about life because they don't care about wearing masks, or at least the people that support, you know, there's a government, yep, you know, whatever.
See, the thing is,
you're not people, all lives matter. You're not all lives matter. No. What are you talking about? You can't be there's all lives disconnect matter and think it's okay that the Supreme Court just ruled that companies can refuse birth control. That you know, all lives are not mattering. You're not thinking about women that were raped. You're not thinking about women and their own agency and in general.
And there's a huge disconnect between life and quality of life. Like, that is not, I don't know, man, we could just go forever.
Yeah. we wanted to make this short, but I mean, we just wanted to kind of talk about everything that's going on with ourselves and what's in our heads right now. And, mm-hmm, you know, we could have more episodes like this, kind of just.
Yeah. And I want to hear if you guys, if there's any, I know we went into a lot just now and like everything from like the service industry to, you know, racism to Trump to capitalism to
the arts,
anti-abortion,
you know, being undervalued, and
like literally everything. And so these are conversations that like we want to, like we said, we want to learn. We are always trying to learn more. We also want to engage in discussions about this because that's how society even moves forward. Yep. So if you guys have anything to contribute, anything to say, any topics that you would like us to do a future episode on, please DM us.
Yes. Absolutely.
And we do read those.
What?
I said, we do read those.
We do. Yeah. I mean, we're in a pandemic. What else are we going to do? and we love you guys. So we wanted to, you know, we always have a nonprofit charity that we, like to shout out, and, you know, fuck it, we're going to do Black Lives Matter again. And it was founded in 2013 in response to the acquittal of Trayvon Martin's murder. Black Lives Matter Foundation, Inc. is a global organization in the U.S., U.K., and Canada. Their mission is to eradicate white supremacy and build local power to intervene in violence inflicted on Black communities by the state and vigilantes. BLM works for a world where Black lives are no longer systemically targeted for demise. It is a collective of liberators who believe in an inclusive and spacious movement to affirm Black humanity, Black contributions to the society, and Black resilience in the face of deadly oppression. To donate, learn more, please go to blacklivesmatter.com. Thank you guys for listening. It's our 30th episode.
Woo! Yeah.
It feels like we started 2 weeks ago and 20 years ago. So I don't know what time is, but...
And also this, more than half of our entire podcast has been during quarantine.
And we did not have that in mind.
That was not part of the plan for growing our audience. But please, please rate us on Apple Podcasts, follow us on Instagram and Twitter at the SOS Pod. On YouTube, you can watch these episodes, SOS with Molly and Alyssa. Honestly, the ratings and the reviews on Apple Podcasts really helps with the algorithms and with other people being able to find us. Mm-hmm. If there's a topic that we covered that you like, a specific episode that you feel like is relevant to any friends or family that you have, please pass it on. It is really hard to grow an audience during a pandemic because a lot of people listen to podcasts when they're driving to work or at the gym or
especially
things
a
we're
new
not doing
one,
right now.
A baby one.
Yeah, a brand new one. So please help us.
Yeah.
Help us.
We love
Help
you.
Me, I'm poor.
We love you guys. And here's to turning meltdowns into magic.